This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is now a good time to invest in real estate? But before we get started, I just want to say, hey, how are you doing out there, old dogs and young pups and everybody else that might be out there listening? Great things going on here. I'm excited. I definitely just want to encourage you guys and just say, hey, keep moving forward, because good things happen if you are persistent and you keep on keeping on here, guys. So I'm going to jump into our topic today a little bit earlier instead of making some of my typical announcements here, because it's a big topic and there's a lot to cover. So if we can, let's just go ahead here and jump right into it. Is now a good time to invest in real estate? Now, this is a question I get asked a lot. You know, should I buy, for example, right now if there's a major recession coming? Wouldn't it make more sense to wait for prices to fall and then buy when properties are cheaper? And I can understand why people, you know, are even asking that question. And a lot of us, you know, we want to make wise decisions with our funds. So I would, you know, rather buy properties when real estate is cheap, you know, for example, after a crash, than let's say now when prices are higher. Yeah, I think that the tough part about this is that we have no idea when the housing market will, and I even hate to use the term crash, because we don't know the severity at all of this market correction, this recession, or whatever may be ahead, or if there is even something ahead. I mean, we're in a strange time right now. Normally, these recession periods, you know, they come like clockwork every 7 to 10 years. Well, we're like in the 11th year here, and people are still wondering when it's going to hit. We don't know that. And there are many elements you got to consider when you're thinking about buying. Okay, investors can find the answer to this question, is now a good time to invest in real estate, based on how many of these factors impact you? And we don't know, and we can't predict. No, nobody can. Everybody's doing it, but really, it's difficult to say what's going to happen. And while no one can say for certain how things will play out in 2019 and beyond, good research and a key study of market trends will help you at least get a good feel for what factors may intercede at that time. So let's look at some of these right now. One of them is affordability. The U.S. housing market has been facing a problem with affordability over the past decade. A lot of people want to buy property, but they don't seem to have the financial resources to do so. Affordability is defined as the percentage of one's median household income spent on the median household mortgage in a particular area. So many investors, and you see this a lot with millennials too, that are just saying, I'm just going to rent. It's just too big of an expense and a commitment and so forth. But many investors prefer investing, for example, if they're going to be an investor, to invest in the local market. Many investors prefer investing in their local market, but buying a rental property could prove to be more expensive than what you can take on if your market's affordability is going down. Affordability is one of the main reasons behind the slowdown in the housing market this year. Many potential home buyers are now more inclined to rent instead of buy, like I mentioned with millennials. So is buying real estate a good idea, taking into account the affordability scope? Well, it depends on the investor. Home prices are just as high for real estate investors, but they're buying this property as an investment. So owning a rental property in the right market could pay off with all the new rental demand. So as prices are up, people are going to need to rent. And so owning a rental property makes sense. If your local market is too expensive for you, you also have the option, as we've mentioned many times on this, of searching elsewhere, out of state, out of town, in other markets. Another factor is home sales and property prices. Yes, affordability is a problem in many markets, but in 2017, for example, 10 of the top 100 metro areas saw prices soften. Now, what this means is that growth was at least 1% slower than annual growth over the past 3 years. So that begs the question, is buying real estate a good investment in 2019 compared to prior years? Home sales usually increase as the aftermath of the recession starts to wear off. Well, current home sales are looking similar to what we would have seen perhaps in 2003, but household growth has increased by 13.5% over the last 14 years. That combined with increased construction can lead to increased buyers in the 2019 market. As the market begins to slow down on the national scale, take a closer look at local conditions. After all, real estate is local. We've talked about that before. There's really not a national real estate market, although there are national trends. The market, as far as where prices are at and so forth, is a local issue. So when there's economic volatility, you can expect to see different trends even among neighborhoods in the same city. This is why it's always good to actually understand the different performance levels of the submarkets in your area. Let's look at mortgage rates. That's another issue, right? They are on the rise. So here's what we know. Even though they might be pretty good right today, as the day I'm recording this, it could go up tomorrow or the next day. And there's been a lot of talks. It has increased a little bit, but not a lot. Current mortgage rates continue to be lower than they were during most of the recession back in 2007 and 8 and so forth, and are actually below average considering the type of strong economic growth the U.S. has been experiencing. However, this will change or could change in 2019. Forbes predicts the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage will reach 5.8%. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it's another prediction. What does that mean? Is buying real estate a good investment with mortgage rates increasing in 2019? Well, some people might be discouraged to buy property, whereas others who already experienced the mortgage rates of, let's say, the recession, the most recent recession, won't be too worried about this. So let's look at another factor, housing inventory. Inventory levels remain low, and owning property under these conditions is desirable to many investors. According to Forbes, again, national inventory increases are expected to remain low in 2019. The majority of inventory increases are expected in areas such as San Jose, California, Santa Clara, California, Nashville, Tennessee, Seattle, Washington, in Boston, Massachusetts, for example. Another factor besides housing inventory is the best real estate investing strategies. You can also answer the question, is buying real estate a good investment depending on your investment strategy? Rather than investing in, let's say, fix and flips, how about investing in property for income? Investors should at this time invest for cash flow, not appreciation in the 2019 market. I mean, people are still flipping and making money, but it's a lot harder than it was, and it's less likely to have a real easy route to a steady income. So again, I think income property is probably the better route to go. So should you wait to invest in real estate until the housing market crashes? First thing we have to look at is, you know, will there be another housing crash? Before the housing market crisis from 2008 to 2012, the banks were being foolish. They were making outlandish loans to just about anyone who wanted a house or even two houses. I know an investor in Northern Colorado who bought hundreds of new houses using hardly any of his own money. Because there was so much demand, houses were being built rapidly. Many areas of the country saw record amounts of building. Then the bottom fell out when we realized the banks were creating toxic loans that had a good chance of never being paid back. Lending guidelines changed overnight, and builders were left with tons of inventory and no buyers. The crash ensued because there were so many homes for sale and not enough people to buy them. This time around, the banks have not been issuing these unwise loans. Lending guidelines are still very strict, and while you may hear of some subprime lending going on today, it's a fraction of what was going on before the crash. Now, new construction for single-family homes still has not returned to its average pace, even after years of record low building. There are simply not enough homes for buyers, and that is what is driving up prices this time around. Affordability and interest rates could slow down the market, and we may even be seeing the start of that now. However, these things do not cause a crash. They can cause a slowdown or even a slight decrease in prices, but many other countries have less affordability than the U.S. for decades. A crash could occur, but it looks like it will, but we just don't know when. Is it smart to wait for the housing crash before you buy? That's a big question here. It is easy to look back on the last crash and say that I should have bought 100 houses right at the bottom. I know people who bought quite a few homes at the bottom of the market, but also on the way up and on the way down. They bought houses based on their own investment criteria, whether they were flips or rentals, without assuming prices would increase. They also left plenty of room in their purchases for prices to decrease. Timing the market is a very difficult thing to do. Some investors bought houses at their low, assuming that they would jump back in price. They could make money if prices stayed right where they were, and if they went up in value, that was a bonus. The same thing can be said in any real estate market, but it is much scarier to buy houses when prices have been increasing for 7 years straight. If you are sitting on the sideline waiting for a crash to occur, do you have a plan for when that happens, or are you just waiting? How low will prices have to go? How will you know when the bottom hits? Are you waiting for a decent deal or an amazing deal? I think many people who are waiting for a crash have not thought these questions through. They just want to buy at the bottom and sell at the top. And yeah, and that's not a bad approach, right? I mean, it works for various people all the time, right? Something else to consider is that there are thousands of other investors waiting for prices to drop, including huge institutional buyers. There is a really good chance that if prices start to drop, the other investors will jump in and purchase enough homes to keep the markets from dropping very far. What can we expect for the future of the housing market? I try not to predict what will happen. I can make a guess, but I do not base my investment decisions on whether the markets will increase or decrease. I think we try to be prudent in any case, always having enough leverage and padding, so to speak, and everything from being able to adjust the rents down to being able to buy under market enough on a property that if the value drops down, we won't have a loan called on us, for example. So I think it's wise to buy prudently. But again, we can't predict what's going to happen. A lot of people really liked buying from 2010 through 2014. And I wish I could buy houses in the price range, like that. But we can't right now. We will probably never see prices as low as they were 10 years ago, unless there's some kind of massive economic or natural disaster that will have most of us forgetting about housing altogether. That leaves us investing in other asset classes like commercial buildings, apartments, or going to other markets. I'm certainly not sitting on the sidelines hoping for a crash that may or may not happen, and neither should you. Okay, so the big question here, should you invest in real estate now or wait to buy? And again, I think that that's definitely something that's a personal decision that each person has to make based on their investment goals and their various criteria. But as I look back and remember 2001 through 2006, right? Everyone was buying houses. And conventional wisdom at the time said you should buy before prices got much higher. Well, housing values skyrocketed, and loans were given away like candy on Halloween, and everyone was making money until they weren't. And by 2009, the music had stopped, and the same people who were excited about buying were starting to get a little worried about holding. Foreclosures, of course, dominated the marketplace. For sale signs sprung up everywhere. Everybody's buying, properties at a major discount. The economy went from soaring to a nosedive here. And now it's 2019 and things are, looking a little familiar. In some markets, like here in California, homes have been consistently selling over-asking price for years, until now. An increase in interest rates caught buyers off guard, and many have checked out of the game until they can stomach the new normal of rates around 5%. And while California may have cooled, many markets across the country are still rising in price faster than rents can support. It's so bad in some places that the local investors are left shaking their heads of how much an out-of-state investor is willing to pay for traditionally conservative value neighborhoods. And most of those out-of-state guys seem to be from California. They can sell almost anything to somebody from California, I think a lot of these folks are thinking. So what should you do? Should you buy now before prices rise, or wait to see if there's going to be another crash coming? Is it like 2012 when prices had just begun rising again, or is it more like 2005 when they were at their peak? If you want to make the best decision, you have to consider all the facts. Before I make a black or white suggestion, let's take a second to consider several market factors, strategies, and possibilities. There just may be a way to invest now and still be primed to take advantage if the market crashes later. I always recommend looking for ways to sort of have our cake and eat it too, right? So are we at the top of the market? When we say the word bubble, we typically are referring to an unrealistic, unsustainable value in an asset class we can't reasonably expect to continue. In 2005, home values weren't based on affordability. They were based on horrible loans that allowed people to borrow much more money than they could afford. When those loans reset, nobody could pay them, and the market was flooded with foreclosures. Today's market is much different. I haven't seen any of those dangerous adjustable rate loans like we had in the last bubble. The majority of today's loans have fixed rates, 30-year terms, and are based on reasonable portion of the buyer's income. Of course, home prices have risen since 2006, but so have wages, you know, and people often complain how expensive housing is, but they're not complaining that they, you know, are making more money than they were making back then too. So wages have increased right alongside home prices. If we're going to complain about real estate prices, we have to be fair and acknowledge wage increases as well. So are we in a bubble? In some areas, possibly. I would say in Southern California, we definitely are. Does that mean we're headed for a crash like 2010? In order for a housing collapse, you do need a number of different things that have to be in place. You know, what can cause a housing crash, or cause a recession? There's a number of things, you know, a hit to the job market. Right now, the jobs are at the best place they've been in a long, long time. But, you know, the job market was hit when the tech bubble burst, for example. Or it could be a big spike in interest rates that could slow the economy. You know, that could affect things. And that's controlled by the Fed. We don't control that. A national disaster, like a war or something of that nature, too, where, again, it could just, make a major impact on an economy. If those types of things happen, many asset classes are going to take a hit, not just real estate. And it may feel safe to avoid the real estate market, but where are you putting your money instead, right? The stock market, Bitcoin, no offense to my friends that do invest in Bitcoin, but are those assets guaranteed to be protected if the economy recedes? Don't be lazy and assume just because home prices seem high, it automatically means we are headed to a repeat of 2005. It's not that simple. What if we invest now and the market crashes later, right? That's sort of the big million-dollar question. If you invest too early and the market crashes later, you'll be kicking yourself when homes are cheaper. If you wait for the market to crash and it doesn't, you could spend years not making any financial progress. I've heard people saying the market is about to collapse for quite a while now, and more than 5 years. Meanwhile, it's just trucking along and growing each year. There's really no value in using the market as your excuse not to buy unless there are clear, objective, and sensible signs the economy is unhealthy and heading toward a correction. The question also assumes real estate markets are the same across the country. They're not, and I mentioned that earlier. A crash in one area doesn't always mean there will be a crash in another. Some markets are driven by specific economic factors that aren't affecting the rest of the country. I remember Texas in 2009, 2010, when most of the country was impacted dramatically, like California, Arizona, Nevada, Florida, to name a few. Texas went by relatively unscathed, and the same goes for parts of the Midwest and South that tend to operate independently of coastal markets. So what's the solution? Should you buy now or buy later? Wait for a market correction or focus on a great deal instead? The trick is understanding why it is you're afraid to buy now and miss out later. I think it probably could be summed up in a couple of words, and that's opportunity cost. Opportunity cost is an economic term that refers to the price you pay when you miss out on an option in order to commit to another. In this case, buying house A can be a problem if you miss out on house B. If house B ends up being better, as in you bought it after the market crash and paid less, your opportunity cost would be the money you lost that you could have made if you'd waited for house B. Or think of it this way. Let's say you have an opportunity to go work overtime at your job and make $200 or go to a concert that costs $100. Most people who go to the concert think it's setting them back $100. That's because they're not factoring in opportunity cost. The reality is that the concert is setting you back $300, $100 for the ticket and $200 in lost wages you could have made while working. That $200 is your opportunity cost. Many haven't heard it called opportunity cost before, but they instinctively understand that if they make one choice, they miss out on a better choice later. This creates the dreaded analysis paralysis that holds many investors back, right? So this is why people use the Burr method, and I won't go into this because we've talked about it a fair amount on there, but I will put a link in there to a gentleman that we did have on recently who is very active in the Burr world. I'll put a link in here to talk a little bit more about the Burr method. So if you use the Burr method, which is based on a number of different things, but it talks about, you know, buying a property, rehabbing it, fixing it up, renting it out, refinancing and repeating. Those are things that, you know, you can conservatively go in and using, let's say, the 1% rule, you buy a property that basically the rent is 1% of the value of the property. And if you stick to those types of things and maybe a LTV or a loan to value ratio of 75%, when you do the refi, if you stick to all of these things that are built into that, you generally have some buffer room so that if market values do change, you know, that you can roll with it a lot easier. So how do you know, again, and there'll be a link, as I mentioned, to our pal David's interview that was just held recently. So how do you know which market to invest in? While no one has a crystal ball to tell you where the market will crash and when, there are some pretty standard metrics that you can use to sort of hedge your bet against a crash. Diversified economy, you want to avoid any area that is dependent on one employer or economic driver. You know, look at Detroit and the auto industry, Houston and the oil industry, North Dakota and the oil industry, you know, tourism and a coastal village in Alaska that has been dependent on fishing, for example. Look at C-class or better neighborhoods. You know, real estate investors tend to prefer that sort of C, B, A properties. And again, I would stick to that. I wouldn't venture into D-class properties in this kind of an environment. Cash flowing is, you know, we say it here, cash flow is king. If your property cash flows and brings in more income than it costs to own, it doesn't really matter what happens to the value. If price drops, that doesn't impact you unless you sell. Experienced investors buy properties that produce income and only experience price appreciation as icing on the cake, right? So you get your good, strong cash flow there. Hey, if it appreciates, fantastic. I always try to buy in a market where I know it'll appreciate, but if it doesn't, that's okay. Hold on to it for longer. That's what buy and hold is all about. So you look for properties in areas that meet the 1% rule. If a property will rent for 1% of the purchase price every month, it is very likely cash flow positively. If you focus on buying in areas like this and avoid bad neighborhoods and diversified economies, it won't matter what the market does. Your investment will be safe. So basically, that is my take on this, that there are opportunities there. There will always be opportunities in real estate investing. You just need to, again, look at the numbers, Make sure you should always buy conservatively. Don't gamble. Buy in the areas that you think are strong and potentially good for you, and make sure your numbers work. I mean, those are some of the basic components. Also keep in mind, again, it's a lot of local markets that make up a national market. And there are some markets you're going to buy in that are maybe at the bottom of the bell curve and they're going up. You've got some at the top and you've got some that are starting to go down. So there's pretty much everything across the board here in the U.S. It's just up to you. Is now a good time to invest in real estate? I always say it's a good time to invest in real estate. How you invest and what you invest in really should be something you think out and you understand in terms of economic principles and just the basic math of real estate investing. So that is it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today, including any kind of links that I have, can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And look for the episode entitled, Is Now a Good Time to Invest in Real Estate? So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks for listening and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.